Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about. There's such a great opportunity in that stationery list that you have before the beginning of the school year. And I'm a big believer in grabbing every single opportunity I can for children to develop the skills, the foundational skills that they need in order to progress. And even more so for children who are struggling, because the struggling child, it manifests as struggling in the outward skills, the skills of passing the grade, of literacy, of mathematics, of study skills, exam writing skills, concentration. Those are the outside or the higher level skills that get noticed as, oh my gosh, this child is struggling. But that typically is not necessarily, especially the children that I deal with, work with, that's not necessarily where the struggle starts, and that's not where we're going to fix things. We're going to fix things in the foundation. And the foundation sits in things like habit forming, planning and organization. Those skills are foundational skills. And every time we take an opportunity away from a child to learn those skills, we reduce their capacity in the output skills. And it's almost exponential. The less they do in the foundational, the greater the divide in the output skills. So we want to grab as many opportunities as possible, not to overteach a child, not to grab one opportunity in a big way and think it's going to have these great results. But in every little thing that we do, in tiny little things, how much can we develop agency and autonomy in the child and build the skills in these small ways that really fill up the foundation? And then we see the results in the output skills, which is typically your academic skills or higher level social and sporting areas. So let's talk about the stationery list. Now, what you could do is you could order the stationery pack. It could come to you fully put together. You could, as the mom or dad, you could label it for your kid and hand it over to him the night before school begins and go, cool, you've got the tools of your trade, off you go. Now, for a high-functioning, neurotypical child, that's great. He's already got the skills of organization, potentially. He's fine with you helping him out. But it's not building in that child, especially in the child that's got neurodiversity or is struggling with the output skills. It's not building ability. I must say, though, that if you're going to use the stationery list to build ability, you've got to make sure that you understand your child's capacity and ability, and you've got to support that in with a view to increasing their independent ability. So I cannot say where your child is at in terms of capability around this. So you're going to have to judge it for yourself. And one of the big ways of judging it is also to reflect on who you are and what outcome you want. And are you judging your child's ability based on your preferred outcome? And I love the example of making a bed. You ask your kid to make their bed. They make it. It's a bit rough. It's not, the duvet is not quite straight. The pillows have just been thrown on. And you don't feel like that's your standard, so you go behind them and you straighten it out. Well, maybe we need to be clearer on what we mean by an output of made the bed, or we need to accept that our kid's ability is just at that level for now. And I always think about, if I take a big king-size duvet and I, as an adult with my height and my adult strength, I can flick that duvet really high and it lands. Imagine a little 6-year-old kid. He doesn't have the height or the strength to do that. So he's got to use a different technique, or he uses your technique and it's not quite right. And you've got to understand that that's where he's at. And by placing your standards too high, you break down the child. Now, you want to work to those high standards. You don't want to drop your standards completely. You just want to understand where your kid is at. If he's got a concentration span of about 3 minutes, then work in increments of 3 minutes. If he can't yet, he doesn't have the fine motor skills to put a little label on the back of a pencil and flip the sellotape around it, if that's the way you're going to label your stationery, then maybe he's the one that cuts out the names. And then you stick it on, or he puts the last bit of flap over, whatever his ability is. And then you, every time you do it, and not necessarily just stationary, but every time you do fine motor development, you're giving him more of an opportunity to practice, get his body around it, learn how his body works, and then his competence grows. And the idea is, if you're doing this from grade R, by the time he's in grade 4, you probably will be able to say to him, okay, what, this is the stationery list. I'm going to read it out to you. What have you got? What don't you have? Can you label these, all of these things? And he does it within 20 minutes. No fuss, because it's easy for him to do. We avoid things that are hard typically, and we lean into things that are easy. So we want to make these things easy. Now, the value of getting your child involved in your stationery list is, first of all, that stationery is going to be his or her stationery. So why are you taking ownership for labeling it? Having said that, what you don't want to do is throw it at your kid and say, it's your stationery, go ahead and label it. I don't want to take any responsibility, because we're teaching. That's the whole point of parenting, is to teach and raise our children up to figure out how to do these things, to figure out the importance of things. Right now, we're going to be saying stationery is important to you. He might decide in his 20s that it's not, but that's fine. You've given a great foundation so that he can make informed decisions when he's older. But for the kid who struggles with organization and concentration and fine motor skills, stationery is a beautiful way to develop those skills. It's a wonderful place to start. It's a wonderful opportunity for connection. So if you have a narrative around the stationery list of, oh, this is so expensive and this is so frustrating, and why do schools, you don't even need all this stuff, and why do you need so much glue, and why does it have to be this brand and not that brand? Your kid's going to take that on because they're looking to you for how they should be handling this particular task. So how do you want your kid, when they're 25, to be handling mundane tasks of looking after their things? Do you want them to resent those tasks, throw them off to somebody else, do them in a haphazard way, do them poorly? Or do you want them to find those mundane tasks easy to do? Now, another mundane task when you're an adult is admin, your taxes, filling out forms. All of those things are the same mundane tasks as labeling your stationery. It's all the preparation and the planning of life, the filler of life, that if we don't do it, the big stuff of life can get really messed up. So think about your stationery list as a very beautiful place to start to develop the skill in your child. So when they're 25, this type of stuff is just easy for them to do because they've got a great mindset around it. They've got the skill, they've got the knowledge, the understanding, they've built it up. Now, think from a neuroscience point of view, the prefrontal cortex is not developed when you're 6 years old, but it doesn't get developed on its own. It needs to be built, and these skills need to be placed into your child. It's the same skill as organizing cutlery in the drawer or packing the dishwasher or even organizing ingredients for baking a cake. I'm using a lot of kitchen analogies now. It could be anything around gardening. We've got to prepare the soil before we plant the seed. Where are we planting the seed? What season to be planted in? These are all organizational skills. When they've got a job when they're 25 is getting to work on time. What tasks have I got to complete? How am I going to plan my week in order to achieve the tasks? What are my outcomes? They're all the same skill. And it really starts with these beautiful little opportunities that school gives us and life gives us to teach our children. So from a stationery point of view, I would say you pull it out and you go, right, this is the list that the school gave us. Let's look at what you have already. And this is now beautiful language ability. It's matching. So you're going to say, right, the school has said you need three HB pencils. Get out your, what is an HB pencil? How do we know it's an HB? What is an H and a B? Oh, look here on the side, it says HB. Now, how many do we need? Oh, we need three. This is also test writing ability because there's so many instructions in that. The school has said you need three HB pencils, three HB pencils. Now, your kid's got to hold that in his working memory. He's got to look around, so there's visual discrimination. He's got to find the pencils. He's got to remember that it's three. He's got to count them out. Then you want to talk about, okay, are these pencils adequate for this coming year? Are they long enough? Are they chewed up too much? Can you still use them? What's the quality of them? Do we need to sharpen them? Where's your sharpener? Now, you get the sharpener involved. Does the sharpener work? Do you know how to use the sharpener? Sharpening pencils is a beautiful fine motor and bilateral integration exercise, which is something that an OT would work on if your child was struggling at school. So just get your child to do these activities. They are things that develop the foundational skills of learning and being in this world and succeeding in this world. So now we've got our three HB pencils. So now they're starting to sharpen. Let's say they're sharpening it and it keeps breaking off the lead. And now you can start getting curious. Sure, this isn't quite working. Should we try a different technique? Okay, maybe we try a different technique. Have we emptied the sharpener? How does that work? Where do we empty it? Just on the floor? Oh, now we've got to tidy it up. Can we do it in the dustbin? Can we bring the dustbin here to make life easier? And you start really narrating and guiding your child around the thinking about this. So ultimately, when he's in grade 4 or grade 5 or older, that he just naturally three HB pencils. There they are. Sharpen them. The sharpener's not working. What solutions do I have? And this is a beautiful thing that Reuven Feuerstein spoke about, optimistic alternative. It's not working one way. Can I try a different way? Or do I just give up? And if you as an adult are narrating, should we try it a different way? Should we see if there's some lead caught in the sharpener? Can we get it out? How will we get it out? Where do we put the filings? You really are building thinking skills. And then you go down this list and you also ask, is it labeled? And I know in a lot of small schools, parents go, don't worry about the labeling because there's so few kids. But think about it this way. An HB pencil falls on the floor. And the teacher looks down and goes, oh, there's an HB pencil on the floor. Who does this belong to? And it's not labeled. And three kids have bought the same type of HB pencil. How do we resolve this? We really do want stationery labeled because the teacher can notice it. Well, my teachers are trained to notice it. And then say, oh, I've noticed a pencil on the floor, guys. Can I have a look and see whose it is? She picks it up. She goes, oh, I can see on the label it says John. Oh, John, this must be yours. Would you like it back? Here we go. It's such a wonderful opportunity to create in children this idea of mine is mine and I can expect it to be given back to me because it's labeled. So you want that, right? So in going through the list, we only need three HB pencils. We found that we've only got two. So then you might want to say, okay, let's make a shopping list. We need to buy a third, just one more HB pencil. And then that goes on the list. So now we're teaching organization and planning. We're teaching thinking skills. We've got fine motor. We've got bilateral integration going. We've got visual discrimination going. All of these are foundational skills that your occupational therapist and your speech therapist will be working on anyway. If you're only doing OT to develop these skills, you're doing it once a week. It's like going to gym once a week and expecting a six pack. It's not going to work. It needs to be practiced in everyday life. So you're going through this list. If they've only got a concentration plan of 3 minutes, then do one or two items and then let them go play. And then say, well, come back in 20 minutes and we'll do the next three items. And you slowly build it up. And you can even make a note of how they've responded to the activity. And then you do it again every single term. Take the stationery home, reassess it. What else do we need to get? Take them to the shops. Say, okay, let's go and look at the prices. How much has this cost us now? It's a budgeting exercise, which is also part of planning. And now you've got this, at the end of it, you've got this beautiful set of stationery. You've also talked to them about, should we reuse? And if we buy new, what does that mean for the environment? Where's the old stuff going to go? Will this be our spare? Will we use it for homework and leave our other stationery at school? Where are we going to place it? The Davis method is, Ron Davis designed this Davis method, which was, in my understanding, was originally intended for children with dyslexia. And he's really big on planning and organization. And when he's talking about organizing, he asks you in a Condé Marie method kind of way, he asks you to pick up the item and name it. So you pick up a pencil and you go, this is an HB pencil. So you talk to it, you label it very strongly, which is great from a memory point of view, from a vocabulary point of view, but also you're going, I know what you are. And then the second thing you do is, what condition are you in? And that's where the sharpening of the pencil comes in. You're in good condition. Can I use you this year or not? And if I can't use you, where do you go? Am I donating you? Am I putting you in the spare pile? Or am I throwing you in the dustbin? So it's a condition. What condition are you in? And if it's this tiny little pencil or it's been dropped so many times, the lead keeps being breaking, well, now we understand we can throw that away. And this is wonderful for children who might tend to become hoarders later on because they don't know what to do with their stuff. So you name it, you look at the condition which it's in, and then the third step is, where do you go? So I've got my HB pencil. You are an HB pencil. I sharpen you. You're in good working condition. I'm choosing to use you again this year. You go in my pencil box. Chink. And you put in the pencil box. Or you go in this compartment in my pencil box, right? Or in this compartment on my desk. That's where you go. And what you're doing is you're telling your brain how things are going to be organized around you. And what's quite remarkable is you'll start to notice that children become more organized. They just put their pencil there in that compartment of their pencil box. But because that's what they've said, this is where you go. And then you go to scissors. Are the scissors working or not working? Do we need to sharpen them? How do we sharpen scissors? Now, one thing I want to say to you as parents is, if you don't know, be outward about it. I don't know how to sharpen scissors. Let's look it up. And at the moment you go into Google and you say, how do I sharpen a pair of scissors? And one of the ways you can do that is to cut through sandpaper. That sharpens scissors beautifully, I think. Double check it for me. So let's go get some sandpaper. Maybe we can put it on the list And then you've got buy sandpaper and then a to-do item, sharpen scissors. For now, right, I've got a pair of scissors. This pair of scissors, if I sharpen it, will be useful for this year. If I don't manage to sharpen it, I'm going to put you in the dustbin. So this pair of scissors will go here in this holding pattern until we've worked it out. And then you run the process again once you sharpen the scissors. Remember, a lot of right-handed parents don't know that you get left-handed scissors for left-handed children. Try and, as a right-hander, try and cut with left-handed scissors and vice versa. It's almost impossible. It's crazy. So make sure you've got the right pair of scissors. Does it fit their hand properly? I want to say the same thing about glue. If you buy cheap glue and it never sticks pieces of paper down, all you're doing is frustrating your child. Then your child starts to think they're not good enough. In fact, the tools weren't good enough. So I really suggest, especially glue and scissors, get good quality and don't get fancy pens that become invisible after a while because now you want to go back and study and all your writing's disappeared. So, and erasers that work and sharpeners that work. You really want them to be working. So there's three steps. What are you? Give it a name and be specific about the name, not just a pencil. You are a red coloring in pencil. You have my name on this item. What quality is it? Am I going to be able to use it, store it, give it away, throw it away? And then where are you going to go? And you go through the list systematically. Doesn't have to be done all in 30 minutes. If it has to be done in 30 minutes, then it's your need just to get it done. Look at what the need of the child is, of your child is. It's such a remarkable opportunity for you to set your kids up for the year. The textbook, are we going to cover it? Were we putting your name? What has the school asked us to do? How do we follow this instruction? There's a story I remember from years ago. The homework was for little preschool children to bring a flower to school the next day. And parents missed the idea. They just went and bought a flower, gave it to the kid and sent it off. The idea of the homework was, can the child hold that information? Simple information, bring a flower. It's one task. It's not three. It doesn't have to be a yellow flower from your garden. It just had to be a flower, any flower. Can they remember the instruction? Can they plan to do it? Can they do it on the right time of day? Do they go and do it in the morning? Do they do it in the afternoon? And can they remember to bring it to school and hand it over? When parents think it's a silly idea and do it for their kids because they don't see the value, they rob their kids of the opportunity to be independent and develop those skills. So we don't want to rob your children of this opportunity to develop this independence around planning, because planning is where the success starts. So I hope this makes sense. When you're labeling, one last point, when you're labeling the stationery, try to make sure that the label is going to stay. It's not going to fall off. Because if the name falls off now, whose red cokie is this? So we want to put it on neatly, and then eventually you can develop into, well, how would you like to? Well, what font do you want to use if you're going to print your names? And then your child, as they get older, starts getting more involved in what they prefer. And then you might say, well, we got these pencils this year. Did you enjoy using them? Yes, I really like them. Great. Let's use them again, or let's get that same brand again. And then you develop in your child the ability to make decisions around their preferences, which is a remarkable skill going forward in life. Can they decide what they want, what they prefer, rather than just being told what they need to get all the time? So this is hopefully a really in-depth understanding around how you can use the stationery list to develop the skills, not only that you want in your child now, but that you're developing for their future. You start in these small ways now, these small ways where you can connect. Because again, just to add into connection, if you do this beautifully with your son or your daughter now, just before school starts, and you do it with connection and love and with the intention of supporting and helping, not getting it perfect, and developing the skill rather than doing it right, you, at so many levels, contribute to the development of your child in the year. I hope this helps. If you've got any questions, get hold of me and have a lovely year.